FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's 12/20/18, just 11 days left to this glorious year, and you know what that means. And by the way, I'm Kerry Lutz, and if you want to be a part of the show, just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer all, even trolls. You know who you are. So kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, it's that dreaded time of the year again where it's coming to an end. You're going to have to, at some point in the new year, total up the pluses, the minuses, and then you're going to have to write Uncle Sam a check. And it's just so much fun to do that. But the smaller that check is, the more you get to keep. The more you get to keep, the happier you will be, which is why you need to listen to our resident tax expert for the day. Jeff Soha is with us now. Jeff, you're an expert in taxes. This is the first year of the new tax law being in effect. So it's having effects, both intended and unintended, upon you out there. So you need to get some info. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it. And you're right. With the new tax law, people thought, hey, we're going to get some simplification, that things will be easier, faster. And that's not the case this go around.
So if you're a Joe Sixpack wage earner, what effects are you seeing? Major effects. And then we'll go on to those of you out there who are professionals and independent business people, entrepreneurs. So for Joe Sixpack, what is he going to see first?
Sure. So if your primary source of income is W-2 wages, the first thing you're going to notice is that your standard deduction went up to $12,000. So if you're a married couple, that would be $24,000. The intention here is to eliminate a lot of itemized tax returns. So what you've got to start thinking about is multi-year planning. You've got to start thinking about, well, maybe I'll donate twice as much to my favorite charities this year and then not next year. You've got to start thinking in 2 to 3 years and going, how do I bunch up as many expenses as I can in 1 year to where I can take advantage of itemizing? And then in the other years when I don't have as many expenses to bunch together, then the standard deduction actually gives me a boost. So that's one of the big things to really, really pay attention to.
So in theory, at least, many of you are going to be taking a lot less itemized deductions because you're getting a $12,000 standard deduction, and that's going to more than make up for all the charitable and other stuff that you've been doing. I mean, there's probably an income cutoff if somebody's, I don't know, at $100,000. It makes below $100,000, it makes sense. Above, maybe not, but obviously it depends on your individual situation, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, prior in the, to this tax law, you were able to actually add to your tax return a write-off for what they called unreimbursed employee expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important, I think, to call your CPA proactively, schedule a meeting, talk to your financial advisors, you know, reach out and go, what do I need to do proactively? I think that is the biggest thing for people to think about. Instead of waiting until April comes around and saying, what can I do? Already a little too late. 12/31 has already gone by and you don't have the ability to make any moves. So, mm-hmm. You know, some of the traditional things still work as well. You can maximize your IRAs, your 401ks, your qualified retirement plan to lower your taxable income. But some of the things to keep in mind are going to be the mortgage interest deduction is now limited to interest on a $750,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, another new part of the code is that your SALT taxes, which are state and local taxes, are now going to be limited to $10,000 in total. So most people are used to getting a good hefty property tax deduction or other types of state and local deductions. That no longer applies. So if you're in a state where you have high state income taxes and those don't get to be deducted from your federal income. You know, these are things that you have to start planning for. And that's why multi-year planning and bunching expenses becomes important. So take a proactive approach and get your game plan together.
Okay. So that's if you're a wage earner. So just go over again, the unreimbursed expenses, you were allowed to deduct that and now you're not?
That's correct.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
So, Jeff, just to reiterate, unreimbursed expenses, those are expenses that an employee would incur in the course of their employment that aren't reimbursed by the employer. You used to be able to deduct them, and now things have changed.
They have, and most people might not have noticed it on their prior tax return. If they had a good CPA that was asking the right questions, they would have had a deduction there that now they'll no longer have.
So that's it for employers. Now, if you're an entrepreneur, it's still having effects on you as well. What are the major effects of the new tax law upon entrepreneurs that we can expect?
Sure. So probably the biggest piece of the tax code, and this is a big change. We haven't seen a change like this probably, where you hear people talking about a 20% deduction, or I've even heard people say, well, there's this lower tax rate. And there's a lot of misinformation and confusion out there. Essentially what it is they did away with the old Section 199, which that section was for domestic production activities deduction. Essentially, the government was incentivizing people who produced something here domestically in the United States. They said, hey, we want you to produce here in the United States, so we're going to give you a tax incentive. It's one of the ways they can incentivize entrepreneurs. So they did away with that piece. And what they did is they came in and they replaced it with this Section 199A. So 199A is subject to this wage and asset test, and you know, they say it's going to be straightforward, but it's not an automatic 20%. So depending on the amount of W-2 wages in your business, depending on the unadjusted basis in your assets in the business, running through the calculation, you have up to a maximum of 20% deduction. So let's say that your business were going to generate $1 million of profit. Well, if you qualify for the full 20%, that's an automatic $200,000 deduction right off the top. So this is a big deal. And without proper planning or without looking into it and being proactive, you might not get all the deduction you could have otherwise. So just like we were talking about a minute ago, taking your taxes and being proactive with it and going, let's get ahead of the curve. Let's not wait until the springtime to think about it. Let's think about it now and see if there's any adjustments we want to make to maximize that part of the new tax law. So there's a few other pieces to the tax law that entrepreneurs might care about. Something that we see people miss all the time is research and development tax credits. Just like the domestic production, the government wants to incentivize innovation here in the United States. And for whatever reason, we have a lot of entrepreneurs out there innovating, yet they're not capturing the tax credits that are associated with that expense of researching and developing a new product or software or whatever it may be. So you can just make sure that you take a look at that. Now, here's a good thing about that is that even if you don't have that documented this year, you can still get to that after 12/31. So that's one of the things you can actually go and apply retroactively. Something that I see with a lot of entrepreneurs, and this really baffles me, is that they don't claim their home office deductions.
Yeah,
just about every entrepreneur I know works at home. They do part of their work from their house. They usually have a complete office set up in their home. And they're so afraid to write that off as an expense or as a deduction because of this mysterious red flag stigma that the home office deduction has. Well, you can simply go to irs.gov, which, believe it or not, is a pretty useful, good website.
It can be.
And it will show you four different methods for calculating the home office deduction. So I would just simply ask you, hey, why would the IRS give you four ways of calculating it if they didn't want you to take it?
Yeah, that's perfectly logical. And yet it's the logical things that that often mess us up, right? So obviously,
right.
but certainly
so a lot of the traditional things will still work in your business planning, whether it's, hey, what expenses can I accelerate or prepay? Is there any income that I can defer or delay? So some of the managing of income and expenses still works in your business. You know, if you have a real estate business, you know, something you want to look at there is segregating that property through what they call a cost segregation study so that you can accelerate and maximize your depreciation. So some new bonus depreciation rules came back that actually allow for 100% write-off in the first year. So there's big deductions there. The good news about that one is that since we have so few days left in the year, mm-hmm. we can get to that one after 12/31 as well.
Yeah. Huh. That's pretty cool. I like that. And of course, a lot of the deductions that you used to take are no longer going to be available to you, right? Like we talked about, the mortgage is limited and state and local taxes, again, that's going to affect entrepreneurs as well, right?
Right, right. Yeah. The good thing and the bad thing about entrepreneurs is they get the good and bad from all of the personal, plus the good and bad from all the laws that affect a business. So sometimes the net works out in their favor, sometimes it doesn't, but it is definitely more to consider if you own a business.
Right. Okay. Well, we can see that. Hey, is there anything out there that really stands out as the creme de la creme, the best thing of this tax, so-called tax reform legislation that's really going to work for entrepreneurs like nothing else before it?
So there is a really hot topic in the new tax law, and you'll see this in real estate circles, and it's called Opportunity Zone. So what happened is the government said, hey, we want to incentivize investment in certain geographic areas in the country. And they got the states involved in selecting these geographic areas. And it could be some area that was devastated by natural disaster or just a place that, you know, needs some real economic boost. And so they created these opportunity zones. And the unique thing about it is that simultaneously, they changed the 1031 exchange laws in the new tax code. So used to, you could 1031 exchange if I have a large capital gain in an asset. I could exchange that into a new asset, deferring my tax as long as the assets were like for like. So I could literally exchange livestock, you know, cattle into horses, or I could change, you know, real estate into real estate. And so what they said is that now the 1031 tax laws are only going to be available for real estate. So the interesting thing about these opportunity zones is that in the event that you sold your business or part of your business, or you sold a lot of stock, or you have a lot of capital gain, you can put that capital gain to work in an opportunity zone investment and get that same tax deferral like you would have in the 1031, even if it's not coming from real estate. So this is a big buzz. The challenge with it is when the tax laws are created, most people don't realize, you know, Congress passes a law and then the IRS has to go figure out what the law means and how they're going to enforce it. So some of these regulations are still coming out and we're still gaining clarity on the opportunity zones. So one of the issues, for example, is there's a sunset provision in the new tax law that says, hey, this is going to sunset on 2025 unless it is voted to extend. So the opportunity zones have a 10-year window to them tied to their tax benefits. So 10 years from now is beyond 2025. So it's kind of a question of what will happen, you know, in that 10-year opportunity zone window if the provisions don't get voted to be extended. So the opportunity zones are a real big hot topic in real estate circles because of the tax advantages and benefits that it's bringing to investing in certain geography, you know, different regions, geography around the country.
Really interesting. Well, like every change that happens in Congress, in the tax code particularly, there are winners and there are losers, and then there are people that just aren't really affected by it. Here, the one thing we didn't talk about is if you're living in a high tax state like California, New York, Illinois, and you're higher income, you're losing the ability to deduct high state income taxes, probably high property taxes over and above $10,000. That could be a meaningful hit on your income, couldn't it?
Yeah, that is a big deal. So I live down in Austin, Texas, and we welcome everyone from the high income tax state to move here. Down here where we have zero income tax. So, you know, maybe you consider changing your residency. And some people do that. We have, for example, in Austin, we have a lot of people moving in and migrating here from those high income tax states. So I would say really all in all with all the stuff that we're talking about, something that's really important, just to kind of step back and go, well, this can get all overwhelming and confusing really quickly, is if you reach out to your CPA, your financial professionals and the people consulting with you, if they're not willing to plan with you and consult with you ahead of time, proactively, you know, before the end of the year, then maybe consider this. Maybe it's time to upgrade the professionals you're working with.
Yeah, I totally agree with you here. You know, so much of tax is planning. How much you pay, you know, you're going to have to pay a certain minimum amount anyway, but every dollar over and above what you had to pay and what you're actually paying is kind of a sin. And if your accountant or tax professional can't help you with that, then you're right. You need to start looking for somebody else anyway.
But maybe, hey, maybe the government is your favorite charity and that's where you want your donations to go. So, you know, if that's the case, then be it. I'm not going to tell you where your donations should go.
Definitely not. And I'm in complete agreement with you, Jeff. We've been listening to Jeff Soha, tax expert. Jeff, people want to find out more about you, want to connect with you, learn how to minimize your tax burden. Where's the best place to find you these days?
Sure. They can just go to our website, which is arcfinancial.com, A-R-K like the boat. So arcfinancial.com, and learn more about us. You can take it from there.
All right. Very cool. And hey, my favorite charitable purpose is me. And my least favorite charitable cause is Uncle Sam. And I'm sure you're probably not, you're not much different. So, hey, don't forget, be a part of the show and email us, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe. And if you're not listening, please share us with friends, neighbors, professional people. It really helps a lot when you share the episodes and we get the word out about the show. Jeff, it's been a total pleasure having you on. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again when they screw up the tax code yet again, which is more or less inevitable, right?
I agree. Thanks for having me on, and I hope everybody has great holidays wrapping up their year.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.